The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
It's a great Monday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, Pump Site Geek, ready to roll. Another week, Sports360AZ.com. Great to have you on board on White Mountain Radio, AZ Central Sports. And, of course, I'm on Twitter at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T. Lute Olson's going to join us in about 15 minutes on the program. Legendary University of Arizona Wildcat basketball coach. We saw Lute out in San Diego last week on our coverage around March Madness. Lute Olson coming up in about 15 minutes. News and notes, AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. We spent time with Paula out in San Diego as well, watching a lot of great basketball as Arizona marches on to the Sweet 16. So we have that coming up as well. I can't really put into words how much fun this first 4 days of March Madness was to watch, to take in. You know, during the college basketball regular season, I was whining about how the level of play and these kids coming out early, it's just not what it used to be, and there aren't the big names, and that's still pretty much the case. I mean, I saw Andrew Wiggins get out pretty early in the tournament. Jabari Parker out pretty early in the tournament, out very early in the tournament. And these kids are supposedly going to go into the NBA next season. Julius Randle at Kentucky. Aaron Gordon I saw up close and personal. Talked to Aaron Gordon quite a bit out in San Diego. So these four players that are in all likelihood going to be one and dones, I can't begrudge them for wanting to go off to college for a year to get the clock ticking and then to get into the NBA. They don't have any other recourse. But those storylines really weren't that pronounced as the weekend of college basketball unfolded. I mean, if you had in your bracket Stanford playing Dayton in the Sweet 16, then you're a much smarter person than I'll ever be. Eric, did you have Dayton and Stanford making it to the Sweet 16?
I did not, but I didn't do a bracket,
yeah,
believe it or not, so I didn't have any teams going anywhere.
But in your head, did you think?
No. What is it, a 10 and an 11 or a 9 and a 10 or something crazy like that? Stanford and Dayton.
So. You know, and so UCLA could play Stanford in the regional final now. Or more interesting, Dayton. How about a UCLA-Dayton matchup? Sean Miller's brother, which, by the way, CBS just butchered yesterday. We'll have that here in a little bit as well. It's very entertaining. It's always entertaining when you see train wrecks on television because everything's usually all rehearsed and scripted and we don't see blow-ups. But there was a monumental train wreck yesterday involving Sean Miller, his brother Archie Miller, and CBS's Greg Gumbel that was probably one of those when they went to commercial break, things were being thrown and things were flying, which we like that. Wichita State, Kentucky was too soon to be meeting in the tournament. That was by far, in my view, the best game that I saw the entire weekend. And of the number one seeds, Arizona and Virginia to me look like the best of the number one seeds. Wichita State, if you're going to sit there and bang away on Wichita State for being eliminated, I think you just didn't watch basketball during the regular season. They were good. They just ran into a team very early that I think the tournament screwed that one up. You know, when you see in the Big East, a team like Villanova, the Big East was horrible, horrible. But now you look at the Pac-12 and what happened to Arizona State by Stanford. Maybe it was just Stanford, which, by the way, their coach was going to get fired. Johnny Dawkins was going to get fired. That was the word at the Pac-12 tournament before it started. That was the word during the regular season. But now you look at Stanford, they've gone to the Sweet 16. He saved his job. They did a terrific job yesterday on Wiggins. So I've seen a lot of basketball. We'll get into that quite a bit. I like what Mark Cuban had to say. We're going to talk about Mark Cuban on today's show. He warns that the NFL is hogs and they risk eventual implosion. We have said the same thing, to which, of course, people laugh at us. Because I do believe that the NFL has come across as pompous, arrogant, has extended their reach on games, has gone way much for the reason they disclosed today, the reason that they're going to CBS Thursday night primetime football, because CBS finally said, we will move Big Bang Theory on Thursday night. So the NFL's walking in saying, we don't care about your shows. It's like, Eric, with reality TV, if The Bachelor and Bachelorette started to be preempted by football, you'd probably become a bitter dude, right?
I wouldn't necessarily be bitter, but I know someone else in my household who probably would.
So. And so it's like, and we'll get into this, because I think Mark Cuban made some really interesting points about the NFL becoming greedy, and his points are very salient. We'll get into that as the show moves along as well today. But for now, let's get over to Eric with his Facebook question of the day to get us off and running. Lute Olson in about 10 minutes.
Well, Brad, you were in San Diego over the weekend with U of A. The Cats looking close to unbeatable last night against a pretty good Gonzaga team.
Yes.
So today we ask you, this is sort of a trick question because everyone's going to jump on the obvious. Let's hope you don't.
Yeah.
It's a yes or no. You're more confident of U of A reaching the Final Four after what you saw over the weekend in San Diego. The knee-jerk reaction will be, oh, of course.
Yeah,
they looked great. Mm-hmm. You know what the great thing about March Madness is? It only takes one half of bad basketball or even one bad stretch of basketball. And if you're playing a good team like San Diego State, bye-bye. I mean, I think U of A is going to win on Thursday, but I think it's a little bit premature. You can't always carry over one game in the tournament to the next. And for as sluggish at times as U of A looked on Friday against Weber.
That was a who cares game, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
sitting there courtside, I felt like, okay, this is one of those games. You just got to slug your way through it.
But it's we've seen it with U of A. They go through these stretches. Last night was close to perfect. Last night reminded us of the first two rounds of the Pac-12 tournament when they were just obliterating people.
Right.
So my answer to that is, no, I'm not more confident because the tournament's crazy, and if anything has proven that, it's what we saw over the last 4 days. I mean, all the top seeds going down.
Well, forget about San Diego State for a minute. Are you just discounting Baylor and Wisconsin on the bottom half of the bracket? That's the other side of it, too.
Not really. I mean, I think if U of A can get past San Diego State, I think they're going to the Final Four. So,
I think defensively, they are so good when they show up and they put their foot on someone's throat in the opening 2 minutes. And Aaron Gordon was in foul trouble and wasn't a factor, and yet he finished the game on a real blur. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson was the difference maker. They have a couple of X factors. Gabe York, who no one talks about, and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Those are the two players because, look, Nick Johnson is as smart a guy. When I hear NBA guys say Nick Johnson is a mid-second round pick, I don't think that you can measure basketball smarts and defense and athleticism and control of the game just based off of height and weight. You know, we see all these guys that get taken early in the draft that are complete and total busts. Wesley Johnson, one of those guys with the Suns, was a top 10 pick. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and recite all of them, but facts are, when you look at U of A, I think that they're going to go right through San Diego State. And I don't mean that in a way of Gonzaga go right through, but I think they're going to make it through. But I do think, you know, a team like Baylor, I haven't seen enough of them. I tried to watch them. They're okay. But I haven't seen enough of them to have a real informed opinion. It's not like as I'm watching Iowa State without their best player saying, oh, my gosh, what a great team this is. When I'm watching Kentucky, who was awful early in the season, they were horrible. And then Calipari says, hey, you know what, guys? Just go play. I know you guys are all here for 1 year. It's the stopover. You're not splitting atoms. You're probably not going to molecular biology 101 here. You're going to, let me get my ankles taped, let me shoot 100 jumpers in an hour, and then I'll go in the weight room, and then I'll eat, then I'll watch tape, then I'll go do it again. That's school. Head over to Sports360AZ, facebook.com/Sports360AZ. There you go. Lute Olson here in a couple minutes. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top and the White Mountains. I'm headed up to the Honda Resort and Casino after today's show. Heading on up to the White Mountains. Going to be at the Honda Resort and Casino tonight. Taking it in, having some food, some fun, getting caught up with some friends. Seeing how things are going at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. Spring is here. You know it. I know it. It's going to be time to head on up there to your summer home or just get up, vacation, camp, head over to Big Lake. Why not stop in at the Honda Resort and Casino, put in some coins, pull down on the slot, eat some great food, have some fun. Fun is first at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the White Mountains. Lute Olson in a couple of minutes here. So U of A in their game last night was, as Eric said, about as perfect as I've seen them. Here is Sean Miller with the effort of his team in ripping apart Gonzaga and reaching the Sweet 16.
We knew we were up against a very, very good opponent. And I think for us to win the way we did, probably didn't catch them on their best night. But certainly we played very, very well. And our guys deserve a lot of credit.
We didn't catch them on their best night because we took the game right out of them. That's how that game is played. Nick Johnson, defensively and offensively, getting the job done.
I think over the past few weeks, we've been playing our best offense as well as defense. So, I mean, just trying to do what we do, stay confident in our guys to hit shots and everything. And I think we've shown over these past few weeks that we can do both.
So much more on the tournament. Lute Olson here shortly. Paula Bovin in about 20 minutes. I watched some of the Suns game yesterday. They beat Minnesota. They were down 22. I can't figure this team out. I really can't. It's almost like a playoff game for them, because if they drop a game now that they shouldn't, and yesterday you got to beat Minnesota, you should beat Minnesota. But they were down 22. They came back and won. Markieff Morris had 25. They play at Atlanta tonight. Here is Jeff Hornacek on trying to figure out this team.
That's the thing that baffles us coaches is we are in that playoff hunt. And we got an uphill battle, and to come out the way we did and give up 41 points to a team, we're just scratching our heads going, come on now. We're in a playoff battle. But the whole game we just kept saying, hey, if you want it, we'll try to make some stops. We're scoring fine. Then finally, fourth quarter, we got some.
One other note on the Suns. So they played Atlanta tonight. One other local note. So the Diamondbacks went to Australia, and they didn't look very good. And they come back from Australia. They're off till Wednesday. They lose both games down under. There is talk of them trading Didi Gregorius today to Pittsburgh, that Chris Owings is going to end up getting the shortstop job. They've got to figure that out. They've got a few games left before the regular season starts. Here is Gibby on getting swept by the Dodgers down under to start out the regular season 0-2.
We're not happy that we lost both games here, but we understand it's a long season. We got 160 games to go. We'll have to learn some things from this, and we know we have to execute better.
So the Diamondbacks again Wednesday, and this Didi Gregorius stuff, I'll talk about that a little bit later as the show moves on. On the other side, legendary University of Arizona Wildcat basketball coach Lute Olson. He was in the stands in San Diego. What's Lute up to these days? His impressions on the Wildcats, their first two games as they roll on. Lute Olson is next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
It feels really good. We put a whole game together. We put 40 minutes. I was in foul trouble a little bit in the first half, but I was still able to benefit my team. TJ McConnell, absolutely great point guard. We have a lot of good pieces on this team.
Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ on AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. It was great to see Lute Olson out in San Diego, and the Hall of Fame basketball coach, one of the greatest coaches in the history of college basketball. 46 NCAA tournament victories right off the top. Lute Olson joins us live for a couple of minutes to talk about what he saw on the court and U of A now advancing on to the Sweet 16. Lute, it's always good to catch up with you. It's Brad Sussmat. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine, Brad. Thanks. Yeah, the Cats really, really turned it on last night. They've been. I think they're the best defensive team in the country to begin with. But then when they get the number of steals that they got and the breakaways for dunks, and they just were unbelievable. I think Aaron Gordon was something like 9 for 11, and Rondé was like 7 for 9 or something, and Nick came through with some shots that were needed, and it was good to see him get off a little bit more. And I think we're rolling, and we're rolling at the right time.
Lute, what do you like most about watching this team play? For me, being out there and just through the season, it's how they find themselves in defensive positions. There's no question the athleticism on the offensive end to watch, but man, defensively, they get to the 50-50 balls, they tip balls, they're always in the lanes. Such a good defensive team. What about you?
Yeah, they are a great defensive team, and they the thing is, the help defense is just amazing. Like last night with Gonzaga, they had to double the post because the big guy was really tough in there. And we did a nice job of that. And anytime you do that, there are people, the other three people on the court have to really be alert as to where they're recovering to. But anytime you see somebody drive, there's always somebody there to help them, to keep them from getting to the lane. And then I think our length of the arms and height that Gonzaga was just, I mean, all of the shots, it seemed like, or practically all of them that they took were really contested. And it's one thing to be a great shooting team like Gonzaga is, but when you're having to shoot over tall guys with long arms and every shot is being challenged, why, it's difficult to hit the shot. And Mark Few was quoted this morning in the Daily Star saying that he doesn't remember a better team than Arizona, and that includes North Carolina when they when the Zags lost to them, and North Carolina went on to win the national championship. And he thinks this Arizona team is the best that he's ever had to play against.
Well, and coming from Mark Few, that's not chopped liver. That's a good team that they put their foot on in the first few minutes of the game, even with Aaron Gordon, who we heard here off the top for the interview. Aaron Gordon gets in foul trouble, and Lou, what I liked is, you mentioned Hollis Jefferson, but a kid like Gabe York, I thought in both games out in San Diego, gave them a little bit of a shot. He's not going to lead the team in scoring, but he does some little things and doesn't get that much attention. It's not just one or two guys with this squad.
No. Well, the great thing is that they're such a team in every way. You know, they're together off the court, they're on the court, they're really supportive of one another. And you know, in the first half, Aaron picked up two fouls, and Caleb picked up two fouls. Mm-hmm. So they had, and Sean did, I think the smart thing was just try to slip them in there for a minute or so and then back out again so that they wouldn't go in at halftime with three fouls. And so I thought that Sean really managed that situation well, and to be up like we were at the end of the first half with limited time and productivity from Caleb and Aaron. But then when the second half came, I think that's what really blew it open, was when both of those guys were in the ball game. And like you said, Gabe York is a guy that stretches their defense.
Yep.
They have to be quick to get to him, because he'll knock that three down if you don't get there. And I thought that Gabe made some really nice passes. They're so unselfish that it's not a case of where anybody's thinking about themselves. They're all just thinking about what they can do to help the team.
Hall of Fame basketball coach Lute Olson, former Cat, he's current Cat. He's there at every game. He's into it and seeing what's going on. Lute Olson joins us for a couple of minutes. Brad Sesmat, U of A moves on Thursday night, 7:20 out in San Diego, or out in Anaheim, rather, meeting San Diego State. Lute Olson with us for a couple of minutes. I'm curious, Lute, when you see Sean Miller, what do you like most about him as a tactician, as a game tactician? What do you like most about Sean Miller?
Well, he's always into what's happening on the court. You know, he's very intense, and that intensity, I think, if the coach is intense, you're going to see intensity in his players also. And, you know, he's not somebody that's yelling and screaming at him. He's when they come to the bench for the timeout or whatever, they sit down and get their water, and Sean just talks with him, but talks with him with that look in his eye like, these are things that we've got to do, and we've got to do them better than what we've been doing them. I just think he's done a fantastic job of coaching this team. That defense doesn't just happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's worked on every day in every practice, and it started from the first day that they started their workouts. You know, they're not a great shooting team, and as a result, the more they can get out on the break and create openings where they can use their athleticism before the defense gets set up, the better off they are. And I think, you know, Gonzaga is a team that likes to run, so I felt that that was going to be to our advantage, because if they're running, then we're running. And if you're not talented shooting-wise, you're going to get your opportunities closer to the basket as a result of that. So, you know, I think Gonzaga had 21 turnovers, and I would guess that's probably the most they've ever had under Mark Few.
Right.
Because they're just a team that, you know, they're patient, they'll take care of the ball. But, I mean, there were so many times that quick hands got to the ball that I don't think other teams would have gotten to the ball on them.
What are you thinking on early view from 30,000 feet on San Diego State, U of A on Thursday night? Early thoughts on that game?
Well, I think it's going to be a good game. All you have to do is look at the history of this series, and you know, the game in Hawaii, what was that, a year ago? And
yep, Nick made a big play there to save it.
Yeah, Nick saved it, you know. San Diego State is big, and they're very talented. So when you look at the history of that series, most of the games have been very, very closely contested. So I wouldn't see any change in that when they meet in Anaheim on Thursday. I think it's going to be a great game, and I think I had talked with Steve Fisher yesterday about a different situation, but before I went to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he was excited. He's excited about his team. They're a very together team, and they've got some size, and they're very tough on the board. We got rebounded last night by Gonzaga, but I think part of that was the foul problems in the first half. But I think the game's going to be a really tough game for both teams. That's going to be probably a down to the wire kind of thing that we've experienced all year long with the Cats. It seems like there haven't been many blowout wins. There have been more wins that have come down to the final 4 minutes. And
I thought it was interesting Steve Fisher did not go to the game last night, and that he stayed at home, and because he could have easily shown up, but it was a classy move for him to not go to the game and to stay at home to watch it. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think so. And you know, when Steve shows up at the arena, then he faces the problem of the fans all wanting photographs with him. And,
sure.
And autograph and that kind of thing. So he was much wiser just staying away from it, and he could get more done by watching it on TV and recording it so that he's got, and of course, obviously, his audiovisual guys have got everything that they need on the cast too. So they're gonna know what the cast is gonna do before they do it, and I think the same is gonna be true of the Wildcats in terms of their preparation. You know, there's a few days in between now, and I would look to the Cats to probably have, you know, Sean has done a great job of keeping the practices short but still intense, and they'll probably look at tapes today and maybe get a little bit of practice just to loosen themselves up and that kind of thing, and then tomorrow will be their main day of preparation for San Diego State. They'll leave out, I would expect, Tuesday night or maybe Wednesday morning because of the requirements that they're there for the media things that
right.
that go on. So, but I think Steve did the right thing. He stayed away and got a lot more done by just watching it on TV.
One other question about the tournament. if I would have told you when you were coaching that one day Rick Pitino will leave Kentucky and then he'll go coach Louisville and he'll meet Kentucky in the Sweet 16. Yeah. I mean, how great is this tournament when you have that storyline out there and Sean's brother Archie that's out there? It's amazing.
Yeah, it's well, the good thing is that Archie's got his Dayton team in, but they're in the other bracket, so let's hope they meet for the national championship. But Kentucky against Louisville is, I mean, that's bad blood between those two, and it has been forever, it seems like. So that should be an interesting game, and I think UCLA gets Florida, don't they?
Eventually. I mean, I think, you know, there's a scenario, Lou, there's a scenario where you could have UCLA against Stanford. Who would have thought that would have been the case when things first started out? I mean, for the way that this tournament has played out, it's been fabulous. Before I let you go, what are you up to these days? You're watching the Cats. Fans want to know, what are you up to these days?
Well, I work part-time for the U of A Foundation as an ambassador, and the good thing about that is they send me out to see some of the top donors, you know, around the country in Houston, Dallas. We've been to Chicago, to the Bay Area, to Southern California. And the nice thing is I don't have to ask them for money. I just have to work on trying to improve the relationships between the U of A and the donors. So it may be somebody in engineering. It may be somebody in fine arts. It may be people in the cancer center. And so, you know, I really enjoy this, doing this, because this keeps me connected with the university. And so I'm really pleased in what's been happening with me. So we're around, and we're, like I tell Jim Moore, the head of the foundation, is, hey, just keep me busy. Don't feel like, well, this may be an imposition to you or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just send me out, because I love representing the U of A.
Appreciate your time as always, Lute. Stay well, safe travels. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Brad.
There's Lute Olson, Hall of Fame basketball coach, for a couple of minutes. Brad Susmat with you, sports360az.com. On White Mountain Radio, good to be on White Mountain Radio. We'll see those folks later today. And, of course, AZ Central Sports, and on Twitter, at Brad Susmat. On the other side, AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin, my friend, comes on board. She was in San Diego as well. U of A to the Sweet 16. Thanks again to Lute Olson. Stay with us.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at facebook.com/sports360az. Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Susmat.
Sweet 16 time for the University of Arizona Wildcats, and much, much more with our friend, AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. We saw her through the weekend in San Diego, working away on television at Channel 12, riding away and spending time around the University of Arizona and their basketball program. I'm curious, when you have spent some time now around the U of A, does the basketball program feel like it's bigger than any other program on the collegiate level within our state? Meaning, could be Arizona State football, the great history, tradition, and heritage. But the way that U of A carries themselves as a program, not just the players, but right down to the athletic director, the media people within the program, that they kind of carry themselves with an air of swagger. It's not arrogance, just swagger that is, I think, pretty cool.
Yeah, Brad, I mean, and it's just the product of being around success for so often. I mean, it's, you know, it's inevitable. ASU has great people who do great things, but there's something about when you win a lot, and that's the thing that's just really blown me away about Miller. I remember when he took the job, people were like, why are you following Lute Olson's, you know, path and stepping into his shoes, because you can't match that. And he has done unbelievable, I think, especially on the recruiting level, but certainly the coaching level too.
Well, I think for him, the benefit for Sean was there was that gap. And let's be honest, there was kind of a rough landing for Lute at the end. And there was the interim and the interim and the interim. But man, they are up and running in a way. When you see former players show up at shoot around and want to be around the team at the hotel from across the NBA, guys that have retired, that have put in their NBA time, and they want to be here and they expect to be here. It's just a whole different ball game than what I'm used to seeing.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, Mark Few mentioned something during one of his press conferences about how, and all these, you know, to be a successful coach at Division One, you've got to work your tail off constantly. But he said that Miller is a guy who outworks everybody. And, you know, Greg Hansen of the Arizona Daily Star in Tucson wrote a column the past couple days about how Sean, on like December 27th, was watching some high school kid in L.A. and, you know, he was just so, I think, so determined to keep up what Lute had. And like you said, there was that 2 years where there was a adjustment period. But his ability to recruit year in and year out is all about effort. It's really impressive.
I remember when Finlay Prep came down here, and they had a game in December, or January, I should say. Finlay Prep came down to play Corona del Sol. And Sean had a game earlier in the day. I believe it was against Washington. And it was a hard-fought game. And both he and Nick Johnson were up in Phoenix by that night at 6 o'clock sitting courtside watching Finlay. And one of U of A's players next season is coming from Finlay, and Corona del Sol is loaded. And Sean Miller is there working it. He's not one of these guys that says, I'm above this. I kind of like how he gets his fingernails dirty and is in all the everything.
Absolutely. And sort of the next part of that is then how tapped in he is to the players that he recruits. I kind of keep harping on this, but it just impresses me so much how much these guys embrace playing defense. And it's hard when you have a lot of superstars, guys from all over the country who have enjoyed being lauded for their great offensive skills and their dunks and everything else. But, I mean, the reason Arizona here more than anything is because they play that amazing defense. And guys like Aaron Gordon, you know, and Hollis Jefferson, freshmen, are right there with him. And so he's taking note, clearly, of the guys he's recruiting that are not only great players but are going to buy into this kind of thing. And I think it's hard to do in this day and age of, you know, a lot of self-serving athletes.
Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, just back from San Diego, where she was working her tail off morning, noon, and night for Channel 12, writing, blogging, spending time around the team. I saw her in action. It was like, hey, take a breath, man. You're on the run. you've dealt with Aaron Gordon now, at least in press conferences and a little bit thereafter. In my opinion, I don't think he's ready for the NBA. But then again, who am I to say where he is at financially? What does he need to go accomplish? Is school just something there that says I'm going to a college because the rules are in place? When you deal with him, though, what kind of kid do you find him to be for the listeners who are never going to get this close to Aaron Gordon?
Great kid. And I didn't really know what he was about until I've been around this team a little bit more. I mean, the maturity in interviews, you know, I talked about the defense. That's just about being selfless. And it's really hard, I think, to come in as a freshman and gain the respect of guys like Nick Johnson and some of the veterans really quick. But they embraced him right away, and Miller told me one of the reasons was because he was so hungry to learn and did not come in. You know, he came in with a lot of hype, but he did not act that way around them. So I've been really impressed by that. And, you know, I agree. I mean, if he had another year or two in Arizona, he'd be amazing.
He'd be a beast.
When he got into the NBA.
Yeah.
But he's still going to be a top 10 pick, and it's hard to fault the guy for leaving. It's because of the way the NBA and college basketball is now. It's not – a lot of guys are going in not ready, but that's who the NBA is willing to take. So I understand why he leaves.
But here's the thing on that. So Scottie Pippen saw Aaron Gordon play earlier this season and told Greg Hansen from the Daily Star that he sees himself in Aaron Gordon. I see Blake Griffin in Aaron Gordon, at least from a body size and how he plays out on the floor. He would benefit so much from staying in school. We see kids that do leave early and they're not ready to go. I mean, Wesley Johnson was a 7th overall pick and he's bounced around to how many teams around the NBA, including the Suns. Michael Beasley, we know Michael Beasley's story. It's not a good story. He's not a good guy off the court either. He's had his share of troubles. I guess that we have to accept this on one hand. On the other hand, I see where Wiggins gets eliminated early at Kansas, and Embiid didn't make it through, and Julius Randle looks like a beast, and down in Jabari Parker down at Duke, those four or five kids were the ones that we all heard about in November. seeing Aaron Gordon play in person, he's not ready for the NBA, but with the way the rules are, I can't blame him. It gets his clock ticking to make the big bucks.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's certainly about money, and you have to remember, he's also on a team with Brandon Ashley, and he saw Ashley go down with an injury. Now, it's not career-ending, but it was season-ending, and you know, I think any athlete who has the opportunity to go into the NBA and certainly be a lottery pick, that kind of stuff, you know, hangs in the back of your mind, and you don't want to take that chance. And so, you know, maybe he'll surprise everyone, but I have not heard a peep of anyone saying that he's not going to go to the NBA. So I think it's just about a done deal. But I know he's enjoying this experience a lot too. So there'll probably be a little bit of a tug, but I can't imagine a big one.
I'll tell you the one I'm surprised on, Paula, and that's Nick Johnson. I'm hearing him as a mid-second round pick, talk to some NBA people out there, and boy, the intangibles of Nick Johnson, don't just give me height and weight, and don't give me he's not the greatest shooter. I look at what he brings to the floor, a headiness, competitive player. That's a guy I want on my team.
I agree. I mean, and especially if anyone who's watched his career, I mean, he's such a different, and he was great last year, but he's such a leader this year and so willing to sacrifice things and, you know, all that stuff, like in the off season, he found places to live for all the teams so that they could be living next door to each other.
Right, right.
I mean, that's just mature stuff for a guy who's a junior. But, you know, we know as well as anyone how caught up professional leagues, and especially the NBA, are in numbers and height and weight. And certainly there are limitations with your size in the NBA, but we've also seen guys succeed. So I think he's going to surprise people once he gets in the league.
One other question for you on this whole U of A thing. What's your big takeaway? Now you've been around them for the first two games. You were around them before the season finished up. You're going to be at the Sweet 16. You're going to the Final Four, whether they go or not. But what's your big takeaway from the team or the program, or maybe just somebody with this squad that you don't feel like is getting enough attention?
That someone on this team now that's not getting enough attention?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think it's Hollis Jefferson. And I know people are starting to write about him more, but when you come off the bench, which he is primarily doing now, you're not sort of embraced, at least by national media, maybe by fans as much as you should. But I think he's just as talented as a lot of the guys on the floor there. He obviously needs to work on his shooting as well. But there's talk of him going into the NBA after the season.
Right.
And he's not even starting. So, and he's another guy, I think, willing to sacrifice a lot, has gone through a lot in his life, and will probably turn out to have a very nice NBA career as well.
Safe travels. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Fred.
It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. She'll be at the Sweet 16. Eric is going to the Sweet 16. So your trip out there, are you going to the beach? Are you actually going to work? Are you
what?
Gonna...
The beach?
Yeah. It's no. Anaheim. Are you going? Are you?
I don't think. We'll just see. I mean, I'm going to be out there. I could be out there for as many as 6 days if U of A wins. So.
Wow. Maybe, so you're kind of laying the groundwork here that you're going to go screw around.
Maybe there will be some beach time.
You're going to go to Disneyland. You're going to do all that stuff. It's Anaheim.
Nah. I wouldn't mind just walking on the beach and kind of resetting life. That's a good. It's a good place.
Oh, come
to just
on!
Sort of,
are
you
serious?
Listen to the waves.
Listen to you. You sound so deep.
Feel the sand between your toes. And I don't know.
You're getting married. Are you getting soft?
Well, that's why you kind of need to hit
the reset
button.
What are you talking about? You're going out there to watch basketball.
Yesterday, I went and I picked out my wedding ring. You know, this stuff's about to get real here, Brad.
Jeez, you do need a trip.
Are you
going by yourself or is she going with you?
No, just me.
Oh, so you're going to work?
Just me.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
I mean, I wouldn't hold it against you if she went. You might get more stuff done.
Nah. No, she's got her priorities as well. So.
Well, she must not if she's with you. I don't know. I mean, come on. What are you talking about? It's March Madness here. You're not putting any money on these games.
Nope. Now that we're not in Vegas, my betting has
stopped. So you're just
going
to sit and watch? What fun is that?
I'm going to go cover practices and listen to the coach speak and, you know, shoot videos
the coach
for our site. You know.
In all seriousness, so the coach speak. So Frieder's out there, and I spent Paula and I both spent a lot of time just talking to Frieder. Frieder's very funny. Bill Frieder, the former Sun Devil coach, he's the lead analyst for Westwood One. So we're sitting there just at tables, working away on our thing, and he'd come over and sit, and he'd walk around. He's still carrying like this 1980s cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd come by and he'd say, "So what do you think about this? And what do you think about that?" And as he's talking basketball, we start talking about coaches, and then Fisher calls him, Steve Fisher. So Steve Fisher brought up a great point after San Diego State beat New Mexico State. New Mexico had to get on a plane to go New Mexico State.
Or you're right. New Mexico State.
Yeah, New Mexico State. Right. They had to get on a plane by 2 a.m. So the NCAA forces the losing team after the first round or second game, the first weekend, they have to get on a chartered plane right after the game to go home. Mm-hmm. They cannot spend the night.
Spokane to Las Cruces.
The NBA or the NCAA, I guess, doesn't have two nickels to rub together for them to stay in a hotel.
They're
in
not
Spokane.
Making any money off
none, zero.
Nope.
Big signs that say you cannot walk out on the floor if you don't have this cup that has the NCAA logo on it. So Fisher calls Frieder because this story gets picked up in San Diego about how Fisher just rips the NCAA, saying it's a shame, it's a crime, you're forcing these kids to fly home tonight. New Mexico State left there at 1 a.m. They didn't get into Las Cruces until 5:30 in the morning because they just lost their game. They had to get on a bus and get out of here. We don't want you. They get on a plane. They say it's private. I don't know. They land at some strip. They have to bus for an hour and get home 5:20 in the morning. But it was so cool that here's Frieder, and he's talking to Fisher. And then you go from Frieder to Mark Few's talking about Gonzaga. And here's Stockton talking about his deal up there and his dad being in the stands. And then you have Shaka Smart before he just coached. I don't know what he was thinking the last 6 seconds of that game at Virginia Commonwealth. And then Steve Alford rolls through. It's all these coaches. And for me, I'm just soaking it in. I coach my kids. I've been around coaches a long time. And you just see guys handle themselves. And then Sean Miller walks in. It's like his head's going to explode because he's so intense. He's so into it.
At the halftime of the Weber State game, I know you were at the game. I was watching it at home. Sean Miller, his face, you're right, he was sweating profusely. And I'm thinking to myself, you're in Southern California. It's probably, high 60s outside, maybe low 70s inside. You're the one. You're playing the 16. You've got a nice, comfortable lead. Relax.
Yeah, breathe.
Relax.
There are people that think that he's going to explode. On the other side, so we have to tie together a moment in broadcast over the weekend that was classic, a complete and total train wreck by the professionals at the very top of the top. Greg Gumbel calling Archie Miller, Sean Miller, while he's interviewing him, but it got worse. We'll have that for you. Plus, Mark Cuban ripping apart the NFL, just crushing him, calling him hogs, fat hogs. We'll explain why next. I'm Brad Sussmann.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
A lot going on today. Good stuff. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric, things that we see nationally that are of interest as well. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. We were out in San Diego, of course, covering the Arizona Wildcats. And I noticed license plate holders, right? And I saw some Santan Ford license plate holders in the parking garage at San Diego State University. And, of course, they had the Arizona tags on them, the plates on them. And so the fans following the U of A, they swing by Santan Ford. They want that new car. They want that new truck. The reach that general manager Tim Hovick has around the state, it's not just in South Chandler and Gilbert. No, it's throughout the state. Swing on in yourself. Check it out. Summer's right around the corner, and you may want that new car, that new truck for your summer vacation, your getaway. Stop on into Santan Ford or go online to santanford.com. The people there at Santan Ford, they do make the difference. They say it is all about you. It truly is. We appreciate Santan Ford's support as we continue on the road with the University of Arizona Wildcats through March Madness, even with ASU last week to Milwaukee. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. That's Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Diamondbacks are off for a couple of days. Didi Gregorius to Pittsburgh, ? So the shortstop battle coming down. If we remember the Didi Gregorius for Trevor Bauer deal and how widely applauded it was, and oh my gosh, they've got this terrific shortstop. And now a year later, well, maybe they don't have this terrific shortstop. So keep an eye on that. Don Mattingly not happy with Yasiel Puig against the Diamondbacks. And this comes in the department of no surprise in my mind. I think it's going to be a long, rough road with Yasiel Puig out there. I really do. The people around the Dodgers that we talked to at spring training thought that this is just a ticking time bomb. Adrian Gonzalez got into him in front of people on the field in the Diamondbacks game. They're talking about the injury, and Mattingly says, I don't know, whatever it is today, tomorrow, it's a different ailment with him. So that one's a story to keep an eye on in my mind. The Cubs are the Diamondbacks' next opponent. That'll be at Salt River Fields on Wednesday. On the football end of things, this Mark Cuban story's got my eye today. Owners are in Orlando. They're doing their thing. They're having their NFL meetings. It's getting to the point, we send Eric off to the NFL scouting combine. I'm wondering if it's getting to the point where our little company should be going to all these NFL owners' meetings. Because every time that there's a bit of news around the National Football League, like a report today that Terrell Pryor is going to be released by the Raiders, he wants out now that they've landed Matt Schaub. Or DeSean Jackson, a month ago, the Eagles decided they wanted to let go of DeSean Jackson. But is there too much NFL? Is Mark Cuban just a bitter NBA owner when yesterday, last night actually, he told reporters that the NFL is bordering on oversaturation of the market with dire consequences? Quote, I think the NFL is 10 years away from an implosion. I'm just telling you, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, and they're getting hoggy. Just watch, Mark Cuban says. Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. When you try to take it too far, people turn the other way. Continuing to quote Mark Cuban, I'm just telling you, when you've got a good thing and you get greedy, it always, 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 always turns on you. That's rule number one in business. Now, Cuban was talking about the NFL's expanded television package, putting games on CBS on Thursday nights this fall that'll be simulcast on the NFL Network. A, it tells me that CBS is not seeing the reach that they wanted out of the NFL Network. B, as Cuban says, they're trying to take over every night of TV. Initially, it'll be, yeah, they're the biggest ratings thing that there is. Okay, Thursday, that's great, regardless of whether it impacts the NBA during that period when we cross over. Then if it gets Saturday, now you're impacting colleges. Now it's on 4 days a week. It's all football. At some point, the people get sick of it, end quote. I agree with this. I think the beauty of the NFL is there is such an insatiable desire for it. Remember when ESPN first started back in the early 80s, and it was novel and everybody wanted a piece of it. And now I try to watch it, and it's just crapola for the most part. It's really not well-done stuff because it's just thrown together, in my view. The games are well-done. The production is well-done. You talk to people that are there or people that have left there, unless you're at the very top of the food chain, they're not happy. They don't like the way that things are run there. So I think what Mark Cuban is saying, I tend to agree with. I look forward to NFL football on Sundays. I look forward to NFL football on Monday nights. Yeah, I'm in that group. I'm in my 40s, so sure. I'm not a 20-year-old that has to have it all the time, but I do have 20-year-old kids, and I do have teenagers that are sports fans, and they don't find themselves finding a spot on a Monday night to go to a sports bar to watch a football game. They may down the road. And I know 45-year-olds and 40-year-olds that are more into the college football thing. College football is for people that have graduated from college. Novel concept. And so they can actually hang their hat on the collegiate game. The NFL has some things that you look at on the down below the surface. And NFL people will argue with me hand over fist. And usually they're NFL employees that have been drinking the Kool-Aid a long time. The concussion thing is having an impact on youth sports and football. That's not a joke. That's not a lie. That's not a scare tactic. I'm not saying the NFL is ever going to go away, but I would trust somebody who's been a proven visionary and has had great success, like Mark Cuban, that I would trust most of these NFL owners that have just been in the spot of running big companies or just being an NFL owner. Look at the Raiders. For you Raider fans, your owner, Mark Davis, saying now, we may go to Oakland or some other place. Yeah, maybe you're going to go to Portland. So there's no loyalty there. The stadium you play in is a dump. The team has been through so many different changes, commitment to incompetence. They haven't been able to prove that they're sustainable. is it cool to go to a sporting event where all it is a big fight? Or could you go to WWE? I think fans are going there. I think that's taking away market share. Could you go over to the college game on a Saturday night? Well, if the NFL says we're going to take over Saturday nights. See, I think what Cuban is saying is smart. I think it's true. It won't be proven out in the next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. But I do think that there is erosion that is happening around that product. You're not seeing it in the way of people clicking it on, but it's happening. I think it's happening. Sports360AZ.com. We are with you 24/7 online at Sports360AZ.com. You missed any part of the show, you can check it out on the site. Of course, AZ Central Sports, our partnership there. White Mountain Radio, good to be on White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T, on a Monday. Off we go into hour number two, Brad Cesmat. Good Monday, Sports360AZ.com. Tomorrow's show will be from Pine Top. Eric is heading out to Anaheim, courtesy of Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Our coverage out in Anaheim for the Sweet 16. Eric will be there. There's something we love doing a daily show, and there are moments that we have train wrecks on this show. Doesn't happen very often. Screws behind the scenes does a good job. He doesn't screw up too often. Jared Nielsen. Eric and I, we've done shows together through the years. When we do screw up, we just kind of laugh it off, but it happens on occasion. We're just doing our thing out here in Arizona, or wherever you can watch us, listen to us, take us in, streaming, on radio, on demand, all the different ways now that you can reach people. We don't have a huge staff. We have enough of a staff. This isn't a shoestring budget. We've grown this thing. We have a good time doing it. Beats working for a living. But when you have the big behemoth media companies and they completely screw something up, it's kind of entertaining. It's kind of refreshing. So here is Greg Gumbel. Greg Gumbel from CBS Sports. He's doing the Road to the Final Four. It's time for the road. I'm Greg Gumbel, Road to the Final Four. It's all scripted. There's people there in the control room. There's people there to do his makeup. There's people there to give him fluids, to give him an IV, to give him a massage, to pluck his nose hairs, to do whatever Greg Gumbel needs to do. And then this happens when Archie Miller, the head coach at Dayton, comes on with Greg Gumbel, and Sean Miller is on Greg Gumbel's brain.
Sean, I sure hope you're happier on the inside than you appear to be on the outside, because you and your brother are both in the Sweet 16. Or your brother Archie. Sean.
Yeah, you know what? I think one of the... Hello?
We're here. All right. Thank you, Coach. AT&T at the half continues in a moment.
Now, what do you think happened there?
Well, one thing that we should also remind our audience, Brad, is that this interview took place 8 to 9 hours before the U of A Gonzaga game.
Yeah.
So he didn't know. Arizona wasn't in the Sweet 16 at 11 a.m. yesterday morning.
Right, right.
You feel bad for Greg Gumbel because it...
That's the producer's fault.
Well, this happened, and then it got on Deadspin, and then it hit Twitter, and then everybody started talking about it. And the worst was just, like, I mean, if I'm Archie Miller, I'm probably more pissed off at the fact that how you ended it than the mistake you made.
Pretending they didn't hear it.
Yeah, like, what? Huh? Oh, yeah, your IFB's down. No, that wasn't the case. We actually just got everything so ass backwards. We just decided,
to
hit
go to
the
break.
Parachute and get out.
Right,
so
right.
It's a good – we can all laugh about it, but it's happened to all of us. It just sucks it happened to Greg Gumbel on a Sunday where there's like 9 gazillion people watching halftime of March Madness.
Okay, so I'll full disclosure. I've screwed up like that, certainly not on that level. I'm at Channel 3 4 years ago. I'm doing our Sunday night show. We have no help on the Sunday night show. It's me and a producer. That's it. There's nobody. We don't have money for a photographer. We've got to beg, borrow, and steal. And they say, well, yeah, do a half hour show, and we don't care if we can sell it or anything. It was just a dreadful, dreadful show. And I'm hustling away. I'm doing my thing. And I'm convincing guests to come down there and do the show and all that. They want to be on TV. And yeah, there's an audience there and all that. So I've got Mark McMillan. Mark McMillan, who's been on this show before. Mark McMillan comes down to the studio. And for some reason, I said, and now joining us in studio live on the sports show is Eric McMillan. Eric McMillan with the Kansas City Chiefs. And Mark looks at me and says, I'm Mark. I'm not Eric. People have done that before, and I don't like it. Okay? My bad. Completely, totally my bad. Smaller deal. Sure. I made the huge mistake.
Sure. But just listen. Happens. Let's listen to this again, Brad, yeah. And just close your eyes and visualize what is going into Greg Gumbel's IFB during...
Now, when Eric says IFB, the audience doesn't know. I'm wearing one right now. If you're earpiece. Watching me, I'm wearing an IFB.
It's an earpiece. It's basically how the producer talks to
the... Yeah, it's how they communicate to you in the business.
There
okay, but this still is not excused away, in my view, but go ahead.
Sean, I sure hope you're happier on the inside than you appear to be on the outside because you and your brother are both in the Sweet 16. Or your brother Archie.
Right here, like what's happening?
Sean.
Yeah, you know what?
Go to break. It's Sean. Come on.
Right here. Listen, nothing.
Hello?
Silence.
Yeah. We're here?
Silence.
Producer's
silence.
Screaming at him.
All right. Thank you, Coach. AT&T at the half continues in a moment.
All right. And the other thing is, you could tape that. You could tape that. So there's a whole lot of stuff there. And it's behind the scenes. There are days where you're watching and it drives my wife crazy. Because she's like, I just want to enjoy watching TV, and yet you can see where something gets screwed up. Yeah, I can, because it's on a big screen, and if I just let it go, I don't know. I don't want to take all the fun away from it, but it's part of the deal here. I'll give you one. So I'm doing the show 20 years ago, while we're clearing things out. I'm on in Los Angeles, and I've got a producer who says, you have Howie Long on the phone. Howie Long calls in. Howie Long gets on the air and he's like, I don't have time for this bleep. And he hands the phone off to some trainer and says, here, talk to him. Okay. So that happened. We had a guy once, and this happened to Rome. It happened to Saw. It happened to me. We had a guy that kept calling in saying he was Byron Scott. And he got through on somebody's show. It wasn't on mine, but he got through on somebody's show. When you're doing 24/7, this guy says, I'm Byron Scott. I'm here to do the interview. And somebody put him on the air, and, you know, 5 minutes in, it's pretty evident it's not Byron Scott.
Sure, sure.
So it's just...
Yep. I mean, it happened in SportsCenter with, they thought they had Bartman. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't Bartman, and Dan Patrick had to, you know,
Howard
tap
Stern's
dance.
Guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, that's very entertaining. Some of the other things going on today, too. The deal on U of A... Where they are right now, that was as impressive. I look at the one seeds from the weekend. I've got my brackets in front of me. You know, Florida taking apart Pittsburgh, how can I really tell what's there with Florida and Pittsburgh? When I see UCLA in Florida now, I'm going to get a much better read about that. But you could have a UCLA-Stanford matchup. I think UCLA can beat Florida. I really do. They're long. They're athletic. Virginia is a one seed. That's a great team. U of A, I think, better than Virginia from what I saw. Wichita State getting knocked out. Louisville or Kentucky, those two squads are rising now at the right time of year. It's all about when teams get hot. When we saw Stanford and ASU crush Stanford at home, it didn't look like much of a game at all. Then we saw Stanford destroy Arizona State up in Las Vegas. They got better. Johnny Dawkins was going to get fired as a coach at Stanford if they didn't make the postseason. So they ended up making it. My point on this is I think Arizona is going to get past San Diego State. It's not going to be an easy game. I think it'll be much tougher than Gonzaga. The fact that SDSU has played them already this year. The arena, I don't think, and Eric will be out there, I don't think the arena is going to be like it was in Las Vegas or in San Diego where it was basically a Wildcat convention. There's a lot of San Diegans that want to go see San Diego State. Right up the freeway. Here is Sean Miller. He couldn't be more pleased with his team's effort after the first weekend of the NC2As.
We knew we were up against a very, very good opponent. And I think for us to win the way we did, probably didn't catch them on their best night. But certainly we played very, very well. And our guys deserve a lot of credit.
Here's Mark Few, the head coach from Gonzaga, on his team getting absolutely annihilated by Arizona.
We ran into a buzzsaw tonight. That is an excellent basketball team. They are well coached and about as good defensively, certainly as we've seen in a long time.
I like Mark Few. I like his program. When I hear the people over at GCU say they aspire to be like where Gonzaga is, I can only hope that they get close to that, because that's a terrific program that Arizona took apart from top to bottom. The other things on the tournament, Creighton disappointed me that they weren't even competitive in yesterday's game, and McDermott didn't have a great game. Louisville looked like what I expected, growing, getting better and better and better. Iowa State without their best player. Villanova was overrated. The Big East was overrated. These are just some quick takeaways. I like the fact that next year, Arizona State and Grand Canyon both have Harvard coming here. Harvard, you know, they ran into Michigan State. You're not going to win when that goes on. Kentucky is a team that Grand Canyon is going to be playing next season in Kentucky and Lexington. They're getting better and better and better. So from the tournament standpoint, I don't know enough about Baylor. I can't sit here and just say, well, Baylor looked like this and looked like that. But I have to imagine down in Baylor that this is the biggest thing going, that Baylor Bear basketball is still alive and they're still in the middle of March Madness. I have to think that's a big deal. And the Wisconsin-Baylor matchup, not nearly as interesting to me as Arizona-San Diego State. The Suns were down 22, and they played Atlanta tonight. They were down 22 to Minnesota, and they ended up winning the game, pulling away with a pretty impressive effort yesterday afternoon. If the Suns don't make the postseason, am I going to be disappointed because I'm watching these players in March Madness that could be there for the Suns with all their draft picks? That's part of it for me, too. It's not just the college game. I'm excited because the Suns have so many options that as you're watching these players perform out on the court and you think, okay, if Aaron Gordon were to turn pro, where would he fit in with the Suns if, in fact, he was there and the Suns had a high draft pick? Do I think he's the number one overall pick in the draft? No, I don't. If Embiid is going to be the next Hakeem Olajuwon, but he has a back problem, who's going to be the team that takes the risk on the big center from Kansas? If Wiggins is going to be that good because he's going to play in a 24-second shot clock, which means he's going to get up and down the floor. I watch Julius Randle, and oh my gosh, Julius Randle's a beast. He's terrific. I love watching him at Kentucky. Jabari Parker, of the players that have received all the hype and all the attention, Jabari Parker is one of those that I look at and say he could use another year in college. Aaron Gordon could use another year in college. But if you're a Suns fan, you should be into this March Madness too to take in all these players, because they're coming and the Suns are going to have a chance to get a couple of them. Diamondbacks are off until Wednesday when they play the Cubs. They were not good down under at all in any way, shape, or form. And Didi Gregorius, reports are that the Diamondbacks could be looking at trading Didi Gregorius to Pittsburgh. Now, when the Trevor Bauer deal came down, we heard all about Didi Gregorius. Was he rushed last season? Are the Diamondbacks seeing some things that just don't quite add up here in Arizona? If that's the case, you know, you look back on the Trevor Bauer deal and say, did they really get enough if they pawn him off? I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.